Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the other wild animals that God had made. And he said to the woman, Eve, "Did God say that you shall not eat of the tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, for on that day you will surely die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "We will not die, for God knows that if you eat that fruit, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes. And so she took it, and she ate it, and she gave it to her husband, who was standing there with her. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they saw that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. About that time, they heard the sound of God walking in the garden. It was the time of the evening breeze. And the man and the wife hid themselves from the presence of God. And the Lord called and said to the man, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten the fruit that I commanded you not to?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to me gave it to me, and I ate." And then the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you've done?" And the woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The word of God for you, the people of God. About this time of year, I always get contemplative. Autumn's a contemplative season for me. And it reminded me of one of my favorite seasons when I lived deep in the Appalachian Mountains. I was working at a small log cabin church. The people had cut the trees down from their own land. They had put them in covered wagons, and taken them down the creek, pulled by mules, and built their own church. Alongside this church was the parsonage, and I was invited to be the designated pastor there. It was so deep in the mountains that I could go 4 and 5 days and never see a person. I did not have cable at the time. Cable in the Appalachian Mountains meant you got 3 channels, and it took 6 months to get 3 channels. And I had 2 stray dogs that came along, Natalie and Desmond Tutu. So Natalie and Desmond Tutu and I would hang out together. I loved this parsonage. It was sweet and beautiful, but no one had lived in it for about 20 years. So the congregation got together and they cleaned it before I moved in, but it needed to be painted. Because it had not been lived in for 20 years, there were a lot of, well, let's say animals who came and lived in the house. There were 2 bats that would fly in frequently and just hang upside down on the drapes. I decided that they were lesbian bats, and they had been together maybe, I don't know, 8 or 9 years in bat years. There were mice that I would see occasionally. And one day when I was painting the library, I saw a 5-foot-long black snake. Now, I'm not afraid of snakes, and I knew it was not going to hurt me. But I thought, I'll go out and I'll get the hoe and I'll come in, I'll pick it up and take it outside. I went and got the hoe, I came back, and the snake was gone. Now, I would argue that the only worse thing than finding a snake in your house is losing a snake in your house. I could imagine getting up at night, going to the restroom, and stepping on the slimy thing. So I left the hoe there in the corner. And I thought, I'll find it eventually. And one day, when I was continuing to paint, out of my peripheral vision, I saw something long and black. And I went and I grabbed the hoe, and I heroically, in one fell swoop, killed the best extension cord I ever had. I think it's easy for us to get things confused. And in my mind, this story, first of all, I don't think paints God in a very good light. God says, you can have anything you want except this thing I'm going to put right in front of you. My cat, Clarissa Dalloway, has found out that if she sits on the toilet, she can unroll the toilet paper and she can grab it in her teeth and run all the way into the living room. She's done this 4 times. And you know what I did? I closed the bathroom door so she wouldn't be tempted. What kind of person, if they had their children or their grandchildren around the table coloring, would put a plate of freshly baked cookies there and say, don't eat that? This doesn't put God in a very good light. Maybe God's decided, you know, I created this man and this woman, and now I want to be an empty nester. So I'm going to get them out of the garden. We don't know. I mean, the text doesn't tell us. But it seems to me that God is in on this. But I think what's going on in the story, in my opinion, is not that they ate fruit, but they listened to the wrong voice. Listen to how the serpent says, you won't die. You'll be made like God. Just enough of the truth, because they didn't die, just enough of the truth to make them believe it. I think there are a lot of snakes in the world. I think there are a lot of talking snakes in the world. Unfortunately, there are a lot of talking snakes in the pulpit that tell you that Jesus wants you to be rich, and we don't really have any responsibility for poor people. There are a lot of snakes talking in Congress that say, we follow Jesus, we're going to take away all of this extra money for the poor because we're Christians. There are a lot of snakes in the church who do the most heinous things in the name of love. There are a lot of talking snakes. But let's be honest. There are a lot of talking snakes in your own head, too. There is a woman named Brené Brown. She is a social worker researcher. You may have heard her TED Talk. But what she does is she studies shame. And she says that shame is directly correlated with overdrinking, overspending, overeating, getting in debt. And she says shame and guilt are two different things. Guilt, I think, comes with an invitation. It says, if I hurt you, then there's this pain inside me. That's the invitation to go and say, I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? Guilt says, I made a mistake. Shame says, I am a mistake. I have a friend who's in the military. His dad's very wealthy. His brother's very wealthy. And one night he got drunk and he said, you know, I love my dad. I love my brother. I'm the screw up. Although he didn't say the screw up. He said something that even I don't feel comfortable saying in church. That's shame, right? That's shame. I have 3 degrees under my belt. I have 38 first cousins. There are very few of us who even had the chance to go to college, much less get a Master of Divinity. And I still, whenever I make a mistake, I think, Victor, God, you are so stupid. That's the voice of shame. That's the serpent. That's the serpent that's talking. I know a lot of people in this congregation have been wounded by other people. And I'm sorry about that. I'm the kind of guy that if I could take away all your pain, I would. I want to. But I can't. So that has to be your work. We have to acknowledge where we have been wounded and place it on the altar of God and to ask God to heal that part of us. Because if we don't, we can turn around and wound other people. But the result of that woundedness is often we hear voices of shame. I deserved to get hit. I deserved to be treated that way. You didn't, and it was not your fault. It was not your fault. It was not your fault. So you have to listen to the voice of God, who comes into the garden looking for us and says, who told you that you were naked? Who told you that you should be ashamed? So I want you to listen for the voices and figure out what is of God and what is not. Marianne Williamson says, we really only have two choices. We can choose love or we can choose fear. One is God, one is a snake. Now, because this is my fourth Sunday, and so far you have not taken me out back and stoned me, and so far the leadership council has not fired me, I'm going to ask you to do something that's a little bit risky. I want to invite you to close your eyes and picture yourself in front of a full-length mirror, completely naked. Do not resist it, just see. If you are like me, it won't be long before a critic starts speaking. You're too old, you're too young, you're too fat, you're too skinny. Stay with the image. And now I want you to see Christ standing behind you, placing his hand on your heart and saying these words: you are my child. You are loved. You are love. You are my child. You are whole. You are safe. I invite you to open your eyes. You are God's child. You are whole. You are loved. And you are love. Knowing this, I wonder what voices you will choose to listen to this next week. Amen.